97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. Glad you're with us here on the, 22nd day of November. Man, time is flying by, isn't it, for November? It's going to be Thanksgiving next week before we know it. I can't believe it's on us already. By the way, the ATF raffle is still going on. We are behind on donations compared to last year. I'd love to take this opportunity to encourage you to text the word responder to 33100. If you're on any of the socials this morning, any of the X or Rumble or YouTube or Facebook, you'll see it running at the bottom of the screen. Text responder to 33100. All the money goes to responderrescue.org, and you have a chance to win fabulous prizes, thousands of dollars in alcohol, tobacco, and firearms that will be selected. A winner will be selected, three of them, next Wednesday. So hopefully you can take part in that. And by the way, if you heard me, just I hit the cough button here a minute ago. Carl gives me grief about this. But you know one of my favorite candies happens to be, Kim?
Bit-O-Honey.
And you can't find them just anywhere anymore. They used to carry them at the store. I haven't seen them at a regular convenience store in ages. But I went to the Farm and Home out in St. Peter's or O'Fallon there the other day off Mid Rivers Mall Drive, and they had bags full of them. It was fantastic. So anyway, I had one in the break there, and I'm still salivating from all that sugar.
But well, really I'm struggling in the same way. When I'm trying to read headlines, I said, "What is going on, Carl?" And he's like, "I think it's the popcorn that you're eating."
Could be. Carl brought us popcorn from the Blues game last night, where they won, by the way.
They did.
In a shootout.
They tried to lose, but they won.
They pulled it out. Very proud of it. It doesn't matter how they won, Carl. Does it?
We would have been home a half hour earlier.
Oh,
they would
I see.
Not have given up the lead with 8.8 seconds to go.
I thought that was supposed to be more or less a blowout game. Like, it was a clear, the Blues are going to crush.
Tom Ackerman told you yesterday, oh, it's going to be closer than you think. And it was. That's why he's Tom Ackerman.
Yeah. Well, it was a close game. But regardless, they won. We're happy about that. Congratulations.
Well, we did score in the first 11 seconds of the game. That was great.
Yeah. Absolutely. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk to Ryan Schmelz from Fox News Radio, the latest on President Trump's cabinet picks, right? And obviously, Bondi's in and Gates is out. We know that was the big one, but he's still got a lot to go. And we're going to talk more about that here in a minute. But Ryan Schmelz coming up at 6:22 with the latest on the now growing list of people and what they're saying now about Pete Hegseth. They've turned their ire from Matt Gaetz, and they've taken all of that firepower, and they're now rotating it over to Pete Hegseth, who they're hoping to take out next. We'll see what happens. We're going to get to that for you still ahead this morning, and more on that Daniel Penny trial that's wrapping up in New York in the next hour. But first, I want to get to our shortlist.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
A lot of the small town and rural people are now highly sophisticated in how they get their information.
What did Bill Clinton say there, that rural people are now more highly sophisticated in how they get their information? Is that what he suggested? That up until now you haven't been? You were clinging to your guns and your Bibles and your religion? I'm not quite sure. The Democratic Party needs some new faces.
Let me just say, all of you may not know this, but my Secret Service name is Celtic, for real, because I'm Irish.
You're not supposed to tell people what your Secret Service call name is, just out of interest, but apparently they forgot to brief Joe Biden on that before he introduced the NBA champion Celtics yesterday.
Donald Trump has named Pam Bondi, the former Florida Attorney General and one-time lawyer of Donald Trump's, as his pick for Attorney General.
Yeah, Andrew Bailey was apparently on the short list. We almost lost our Attorney General. Instead, Donald Trump turned to the former Florida Attorney General, Pam Bondi.
So, in my estimation, Caitlin, no part of the FBI's mission is safe with Kash Patel in any position of leadership in the FBI. And
well, I could not think of a greater endorsement for Kash Patel. Could you? That was one Andrew McCabe, former deputy director of the FBI under James Comey, the one who ran Crossfire Hurricane, the one who believed, even though he knew the dossier was fake, that they could somehow prevent Donald Trump from either taking office or they could get him impeached if they could just continue the lie, if they could apply for fake FISA warrants and tap Trump Tower, they could do all of these amazing things. This guy should be in prison orange, and yet he's still a commentator on CNN in this country. It's embarrassing to hear him defend. He's worried for good reason. Imagine the people like Peter Strzok and his girlfriend who got promoted under the leadership of Andrew McCabe. The people that promised to get Donald Trump no matter what. We have an insurance policy. We're going to make sure, the text said, that that never happens. These are lifetime-long FBI agents in the upper echelons of the FBI. Now, so when you have generals who are woke, they promote underlings who are woke. When you have FBI top leadership that's woke and anti-Republican, they promote people under them that share the same point of view. So imagine after 8 years of Obama and 4 years of Biden, what the top levels of the Justice Department must look like now. I mean, Chris Wray's been a joke as FBI director. He hasn't changed anything. And they are understandably concerned that Kash Patel will walk in and clean house. That's what they live in fear of. That the Beltway, which goes around D.C. and the suburbs of Virginia, votes 95% for Democrats. Why do you think that is? It's the lifeline of the deep state. It's the lifeline of the establishment. They need the money to keep rolling in. They need the lies to keep being told. And that doesn't happen if you don't keep somebody in the top office who agrees with your point of view. Donald Trump's a change maker here if he gets Kash Patel in. Let me have you listen to poor little Andy McCabe's soundbite here on CNN, which is the only one still willing to put him on the air. He's worried to death.
So in my estimation, Caitlin, no part of the FBI's mission is safe with Kash Patel in any position of leadership in the FBI, and certainly not in the deputy director's job. If you enter into that position with nothing more than a desire to disrupt and destroy the organization, there is a lot of damage someone like Kash Patel could do in a position like deputy director at the FBI.
Amen. Amen.
I feel like Trump was criticized a lot in his first term for the amount of people he fired. And he's even acknowledged now, you know, looking back, I was so new and you have to make so many appointments. I was kind of going off the suggestion of others because there were so many positions to fill. You said 3,000. Was that the number
something
you
like
threw
that
out
is,
like that?
That is the number of positions throughout government.
Okay, yeah. So I think things are going to be different. And I'll be curious to see how this all plays out. I think he's been a lot, you know, wiser this time and just, you know, he knows a lot more people, and I think he's been more careful to make the selections he has. I don't think he's going to be firing people like he was his first term.
Well, I don't know. I think
maybe
that,
not the directors or the leaders. You. A lot of the firing is going to be the lower level people who have done absolutely nothing.
I think you're absolutely right, and they're going to walk in the door with a game plan because he's had all these people nominated so early. Some of them may have been voted on by the time he gets sworn in, and they're just going to be able to, particularly Kash Patel, go in and make some wholesale changes so you don't have the Knights of Columbus and parents at school board meetings being investigated by the FBI for having a different opinion. All right, quick break here. We'll check in with Ryan Schmelz, see what else they're expecting as Donald Trump continues to fill up this cabinet. We'll be back in just a minute.
Donald Trump has a mandate. He has the greatest presidential mandate probably since Reagan in 1984. So to have these blue state governors and these blue city mayors decide that they're going to interpret federal law how they see fit in the face of Donald Trump's overwhelming victory is egregious. But who really suffers are the good people who live in these cities and live in these states. They are American citizens. They deserve to be protected.
Yeah, Byron Donald yesterday talking about, you know, President Trump and 312 electoral votes and a mandate. And I wouldn't be surprised when it comes to advancement. First of all, I'm a little surprised Donald's hasn't been appointed to anything yet or named to anything. But I think he'd make a great replacement for Rubio. I wonder if that's even on the in the cards for DeSantis down there in Florida. I have not heard his name brought up. But I've heard Laura Trump's name brought up. Ryan Schmelz joining us right now from Fox News Radio this morning. Ryan, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Mark.
Yeah, so Donald Trump, I mean, not a day goes by that I don't get an alert from Truth Social about a new post. Man, they are burning it up down there in Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, and I think they're doing a pretty good job of keeping these leaks under wraps because Donald Trump has broken the news quite a lot on his Truth Social, especially when he made the pick for Matt Gaetz for attorney general initially. Now, I did want to comment on what you were saying before where you talk about but the potential of Byron Donalds being appointed to a position.
Yes.
What's hurting current members of the House right now is the simple fact that their majority is just so slim at this point that every single time that that Trump decides to appoint somebody from the House to his cabinet, that puts actually it's getting to the point where it's putting their majority at risk. So they're kind of in a position where they really can't afford to lose anymore. So I think Speaker Johnson and House leadership have kind of made clear to the president-elect, like, hey, you know, until we have these special elections for people like Matt Gaetz, Lee Stefanik, and Michael Waltz, you know, we really can't afford to lose any more members. So I think even if they're very qualified individuals and people who President-elect Trump really likes, I think there's a sense of hesitancy about appointing House members who are actively in the House to the cabinet because they lose that seat for a select period of months.
Well, you have to wonder then if Trump was going to go to people like a Pam Bondi who are not currently serving in the House but who had former positions, you know, as AG in Florida, if that might be, you know, the direction he goes for some of these appointments he still needs to make.
Well, and Kim, I think you kind of have seen that too with the selection of people like Sean Duffy, who former House members who's got some legislative experience, but currently not doing anything that would put anybody's office position in jeopardy. So, you know, that picks like that, picks like Doug Collins. And yes, you see somebody like Pam Bondi, who, you know, was in office before, you know, certainly has a tremendous legal experience and somebody who President-elect Trump has seemed to like over the last couple of years. And then one of the names I was actually, you know, getting ready to look out for was Eric Schmidt with somebody who I think we were kind of keeping our eye on as a potential replacement for Matt Gaetz as the attorney general nominee because, you know, the governor of Missouri can appoint that position pretty quick the minute he resigns. And he's somebody who I think we saw as someone who could get the MAGA wing on board, but also someone I think that moderates would have been comfortable supporting for the attorney general nomination. But it looks like President-elect Trump has found somebody who might be able to balance that as well.
You know, I was thinking about this, Ryan, looking out for you, of course, if they keep snagging Fox TV hosts, you're going to have to switch over to the TV side of things and start filling in.
Let's keep our options open. I don't mind that. Yeah.
What cabinet position would you like, Ryan?
No comment on that one. But
I was kind of hoping he'd appoint me to the liquor cabinet. Sorry. Carl.
Apparently, there's a liquor store on Capitol Hill that Doge is looking into. So we'll have to see about that.
You know, I heard a figure yesterday, Ryan, and Kim asked me about this earlier, that in all, the administration has about 3,000 positions to fill. Have you heard that number?
I wouldn't be shocked if that's the number. I'm not quite sure how many of those need to be confirmed by the Senate. But yes, there's a lot of people they still need to appoint. Like Caroline Leavitt, she doesn't have to go through a confirmation process. She gets to just assume that role, I think, pretty much immediately. But yes, other positions like the attorney general nomination and then some of those other ones like Dr. Oz, I believe, needs to be confirmed for Medicare and Medicaid services. And these are kind of positions that, you know, kind of maybe go under the radar most administrations. But when you pick somebody with a profile like Dr. Oz, it's hard for him not to get a lot of attention for this pick.
What about like Mike Huckabee, ambassador to Israel? Do they have to get confirmed?
I believe he's got to get confirmed, too. So, yeah, this is one of the reasons why, you know, we're debating government funding in Congress right now. And some Republicans are even saying, well, let's go ahead and negotiate a government funding deal now, because if we try to, you know, kick the can down the road to like February or March, well, the Senate's time for, you know, from January all the way to March at least is going to be eaten up a lot of it from hearings and confirmations for these administration members. So the Senate's not going to really have a lot of time to focus on a lot of things that involve legislation, because they're going to be focusing on getting Donald Trump's cabinet into office.
Yep, it's a good point. Ryan, we appreciate the update, my friend. Good luck on that that job on the anchor desk over there.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you, Mark, and thank you, Kim, and have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. Appreciate that. Ryan Schmelz there with the Fox News Radio, keeping an eye on what's going on with the Trump administration. It absolutely. I mean, three or four a day now. I mean, the pace is incredible. I don't remember the last time we had an administration filled up this quickly, for sure. Coming up, we'll get a check of business for you with Nicole Murray and other news with Ethan. Stand by.
America, this is Al Gore. Three things are certain. Hanging chads suck. I'm getting rich off this climate scam, and you are listening to the Mark Cox Show.
All right, Al, thank you for that. As you jet around the globe, leaving your carbon footprint everywhere, we appreciate you taking time out to record that. You know, Kim, I'll have to say, I have been waiting breathlessly for more of these Hollywood stars to leave. But I only have proof of one of them leaving so far, and I don't understand it. I'm actually proud of Ellen DeGeneres.
She took
her wife and she got the hell out. She lives in England now.
Put her house up on the market. A lot of these Hollywood stars have threatened to leave. Like you said, I think only Ellen and her wife Portia have been, you know, have actually stood by their word and left. Now, Diddy might cause a few more to want to flee.
Oh, yeah, but they're not going to go to England. They're going to go to countries that have a non-extradition to
Brazil.
Well, yeah. If it's not Trump, it'll be Diddy that at least gets him out of the United States.
Yeah, they're leaving for a different reason. But, you know, I kind of figured a whole bunch of them, De Niro and all of them would be packing up and leaving. Will Ferrell,
Eva Longoria said she'd been leaving.
I know, but they haven't done it yet because they're all talk and they were just blowing smoke is what they were doing for election purposes. Wow. All right, let's get to business, please. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning.
How you doing? It's Friday.
Oh, I am stressed today.
Why?
I overslept for the very first time, so it was like a day of catch-up for me.
How bad did you oversleep? Like, are we talking like 10 minutes, or are we talking like an hour?
I woke up when I'm supposed to be leaving the house, but I was able to rush like you wouldn't believe and was able to catch it in time for the morning show.
That's happened to all of us a few times, right? Here's the thing I'm always thankful for when that happens on radio. If I wake up at the time I'm normally supposed to be leaving, I can throw on a baseball cap and still make it to work on time. When I was a television news anchor doing the morning news, if I woke up at the time I was supposed to be leaving, I was out of luck because I had to shower, put on a suit, and be ready to be on TV when I got there, right? So thank goodness we're all in radio where it doesn't matter what we look like.
My poor dog, that's all I'll say. I woke up, I was like, Carolina!
Don't you wish you had the same energy, though, on those mornings where you oversleep and you realize how quickly you can get ready? Don't you wish you were able to get ready that quickly on other days? Like, you had that motivation, because then you could sleep longer.
Right, you could sleep longer. Yeah. I've thought about that before.
No, my heart rate has been through the roof all morning. I still have not come down yet. I'm not a fan of this feeling.
No, I'm sure you're not.
So you didn't
get
to take the dog outside. Are you going to come home to a mess?
No, I did. I did take her outside just because there's no other option. I have to. She's alone for 10 hours.
Is she named after your favorite state, or where did you come up with that name?
She was named Carolina. So she was actually a rescue found in Texas after Hurricane Harvey, went through the Carolinas, and then I met her when she was being fostered in New Jersey.
Oh, wow. Well, good for you.
Yeah, I love that little mushy.
That's a good story. I love it. What's going on out there?
All right. So futures are slightly lower. Thursday, the Dow Industrials gained 461, the NASDAQ up 6, and the S&P 500 up 31. BellRing Brands is gearing up for a new year of product launches and bigger advertising investments as it wraps up another profitable fiscal year. During a call with investors, CEO Darcy Davenport said net sales grew 20% to just over $329 million in 2024. For Davenport, said Premier Protein will launch two new proteins in 2025, which will help increase household penetration and buy rates. The company also is preparing for a national marketing campaign in early 2025. Boeing will lay off an additional 600 workers across Missouri by mid-January, and almost all will be in the St. Louis area. Boeing has been suffering severe financial troubles since its safety regulations have been criticized in a massive strike from its largest union. Gap raised its guidance ahead of the holiday shopping season as it touted a strong start to the all-important fourth quarter. The apparel giant behind Old Navy, Banana Republic, and Athleta blew past Wall Street's earnings estimates despite a tough quarter affected by unseasonably warm weather and hurricanes. Alphabet shares fell about 4% yesterday after the Department of Justice called for Google to divest its Chrome browser as a remedy to its antitrust case. The DOJ said that forcing a sale would create a more equal playing field for search competitors. The average rate on a 30-year mortgage in the U.S. edged closer to 7% this week, climbing to its highest level since July. The rate rose to 6.84% from 6.78% last week, and that's according to mortgage buyer Freddie Mac. That's still down from a year ago when the rate averaged 7.29%. And finally, we told you that sitting on a toilet for more than 10 minutes at a time comes with health risks. Now, companies are beating you to the punch with a new invention, a downward tilt toilet that is designed to become unbearable to sit on after 5 minutes. Inventors say the main benefit is to improve employee productivity.
Oh, my gosh. That seems workplace. A bit unnecessary. What if you're really sick?
It seems like a violation. Oh. Like, I'm not someone who spends an enormous amount of time in the bathroom, but really, you're going to dominate how people's bowel movements go now?
Yeah, no kidding.
That's a bit, yeah, excessive.
Like, just electrify the toilet seat. I think you can take care of that.
There's like a clock and you count.
When you sit down, it feels the pressure.
Till electric
you have
shock.
5 minutes. And then you better get up or it's going to be a shocking
shoots
experience.
Water at you?
Maybe sit on it backwards. I don't know. I don't know what the answer to this would be, but
gosh.
It just seems like too much.
I can't believe a business would expend money on that.
Oh, I do. I do. And,
wow.
You know, because think about it. When you go to the bathroom, if people bring their phones and then they start scrolling, like, I get that maybe it can get out of hand, but I'm not saying install this invention. I'm just saying I get where maybe it came from.
Well, Nicole, we're glad you got a few extra minutes to sleep this morning.
Thank you.
Hope your heart rate comes down.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Have a good weekend.
You too.
All right. Thank you. Nicole Murray there. So, Kim, she was talking about having to rush her dog outside, and Carl said, how do you make your dog go to the bathroom? Well, you tell it to go to the bathroom when you're in a hurry.
Your dog's trained.
I'm outside yelling at the dog, go potty. And the dog usually goes potty pretty quickly.
If someone yelled at you, go potty, would that make you go?
I'd have to run down the hallway. I'd have to leave the studio and run down the hallway, so don't do that to me. Anyway, unless you wanted to take over the rest of the show, that'd be fine.
Carl, why don't you try it out during the commercial break? Just scream at Mark, go potty, and see if he can.
The dogs
go.
Are trained. They know when they get outside and hit the grass, that's where they're supposed to go to the bathroom. So I'm not surprised by that. And what's your story? You had a dog that couldn't wait.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Lab Shepherd mix. And I lived on the fifth floor in an apartment in the Central West End. And he was supposed to be potty trained. And he had serious anxiety. And he, waiting for the elevator, would pee, poop. I used to wrap plastic bags around him to stop him from peeing. I got adult diapers, which was so embarrassing. This is a big, you know, 60-plus pound dog. Then I decided I'm just going to run him down the five flights of stairs as fast as I possibly can. I'd come home from work at like 11 p.m. from KMOV. I'd be in heels. I'm not kidding you. I can't believe I didn't break my ankle. Sprinting down, skipping stairs to get him down to go to the bathroom. And he would pee and poop, and the poop would be, I hope no
on
one's listening.
Steps?
I hope no one's listening from my old apartment. I would clean it up as best I could. On the steps, on the wall. There was quite literally poop on the wall at one point.
Oh my gosh.
It was a nightmare.
So what happened to this dog?
He was awful with men. He was a rescue, and they had kind of told me he's really, really scared of men. And when I started dating my now husband, it just wasn't going well. Michael cooked him when we were first dating. And this is when you can tell that you're dating and not married. He cooked him like actual bacon and brought him over a bag of bacon trying to win Levi over.
And it didn't.
It did not work. And one time, this is a ridiculous story, but you know, Levi was terrified of men. And we're like, why don't we put you in a dress and a wig and just see how that goes over? Levi did not like that. I actually have a video of that. I
hope you got pictures of that that you can blackmail like Michael with for the rest of his life.
We were dating at the time, but anyway.
He was just trying to see. He was a pleaser. He was trying to make you happy.
He was trying to make me happy. I rehomed, I almost said I rehomed Michael. I rehomed Levi, the dog, to a nice couple in St. Louis County because I can't have a dog that was going to be like that. You know, Michael and I were getting serious at the time, and I'm like, dog's got to go if he's going to be aggressive to him.
I'm sorry, Michael, if you're listening on your way to deer hunting this morning, I'll never get that image out of my head. So
he was a trooper.
Yeah, I'd say. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Kim. We're going to get to Kim on a Women the next hour here. And next, we're going to get to Ethan within other news. We're going to talk guns and hoses. We got some tickets to give away. We'll do that in the 8 o'clock hour today. Your last chance this week. We'll be back.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
A blend.
What? What happened?
I don't know. I can't hear it. A black Grand Hamilton piano, once owned by Stevie Nicks and used to compose Fleetwood Mac's hit songs like Songbird and Sarah, is up for auction through Gotta Have Rock and Roll, with a starting bid of about $50,000 and an estimated sale range of $100,000 to $200,000. The auction will close around December 6th, it looks like. The piano, which toured with Fleetwood Mac and was played by Christina McVie until 1983, later became the property of English singer-songwriter Robbie Patton, who worked with artists like Elton John and Freddie Mercury, both of whom have played the instrument. So it doesn't seem like it's a lot of money.
The people buying it do realize that it was the artist who created the music and not that piano, right? What the hell's wrong with them?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm
but
sorry.
Wouldn't you want to, if you were a pianist, wouldn't you want one that Christine McVie, Stevie Nicks?
I get your point. If Freddie it was Mercury an Eddie Van Halen guitar, I might want
How much
want
would
it.
You pay for that?
I don't have that kind of money.
An Eddie Van Halen guitar?
Oh, yeah, it'd be
honey,
well
honey,
into the
we're gonna
six
need
figures.
Your,
yes,
we're going to need
you.
Your wedding ring back. I'm going to need to school. Use those.
He does have a brand, though. I could get an EVH guitar. It just wouldn't be one he played. But go ahead.
Jason Kelce, the former Eagles star and current Monday Night Countdown analyst, is launching They Call It Late Night with Jason Kelce. It's a 5-episode late night show debuting January 3rd on ESPN, ESPN Plus, and YouTube. It's going to be filmed with a live audience and Philadelphia Union's transfer. That's a band. The show will feature NFL-themed discussions, celebrity guests, and Philly bass band Snack Time, blending sports and classic late-night elements.
I know Jason Kelce has had his own success, and I feel like I say this every time we have a story about either Jason or Travis, but can we just acknowledge the fact that he is more popular now because of Taylor Swift, because his brother Travis is dating Taylor. He's then, whenever he goes to the games, right, you see him, they always want to show Taylor, show Jason. Remember that iconic shot of Jason ripping his shirt and he jumped from the box? Right? Am I wrong in that saying
no,
that,
I think
that a lot
it,
of the success that the Kelce family
because
has had?
Most of us wouldn't be that familiar with him.
Right. Like they were successful in their
Philly.
Own way.
Unless you're in Philly.
But Taylor has totally, I mean, wow.
Yeah. She the has last, contributed.
Wait yes. till she breaks up with Travis, and then it's really going to skyrocket.
Yeah, but there'll be a song about it.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah.
An album. The last Philadelphia show to like go national was like American Bandstand.
Okay.
So it's been a while.
Been a minute.
Well, it wouldn't be another news without a recall. Chrysler is recalling over 206,000 2018 and 2019 Jeep Grand Cherokees and Dodge Durango SUVs due to a faulty anti-lock brake system module that can cause the vehicles to roll away unexpectedly, increasing the risk for crashes.
Great.
So they're supposed to, the fix is under development. Its affected owners will be notified by December 5th, so...
Yeah,
be on the lookout for
don't
your
park
thing.
On a hill.
If it's not your car being recalled, then you're likely to get E. coli these days.
It was Jeep night at the Blues game last night, and they're handing out ducks.
Ducks, let me guess.
Yes.
Cars rolling everywhere.
No. Handing out cars. You get a Jeep. You get a Jeep.
You get a brake system.
You all
system.
Get a Jeep.
Comcast announced plans to create a new publicly traded company called SpinCo. It's encompassing NBC Universal's cable TV networks like USA, CNBC, MSNBC, E, and Sci-Fi, along with digital assets such as Fandango and Rotten Tomatoes. Mark Lazarus, the NBC Universal Media Group chairman, will lead the spinoff, which aims to position NBC Universal and SpinCo for growth amid declining interest in traditional cable bundles.
It does not include NBC, Bravo, or Telemundo. They're keeping those three together.
I heard they were packaging this all together because they're trying to sell it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're getting rid of it.
That's why it's called SpinCo, because they're spinning it
spinning
off.
Spinning it off, yeah. That's a good point. McDonald's iconic McRib is returning to menus nationwide on December 3rd. Get ready for that.
I thought they said they were never bringing it back.
Is it that good?
Well, this is the sixth
consecutive
year for it.
It's terrible, but people love
it. It's rib meat.
That sounds
it's not as good as it once was. Like, the last time I had one, I was a little let down.
Were you? Did the fake rib get you? Was it lesser than the other millions?
No, it had a certificate of authenticity. It was a real rib, but it just did. It was just, I don't know.
A rib from like a carcass they found, like a dead animal on the side of the road.
But people who love these things,
Chris
Kerber. Chris Kerber is a perfect example.
Well, I told him congratulations yesterday.
Oh, good.
For everybody that's not Sue, if you love the McRib sauce separately, you can start getting it by itself starting November 25th. Half gallon jugs of the sauce will be sold online for $20
at
wholelotofmcribsauce.com.
I've never had a McRib, and I can't. When I see the pictures of it, it doesn't entice me to want to try it.
My dear, you can't even handle White Castle. The McRib is not for you.
Sue for the win.
End it on that.
Oh, man, I got to go get me a McRib for sure. All right, coming up, we'll check in with J.J. Carafano from Heritage on the latest, see what he thinks about this Pete Hegseth appointment, and C.B. Cotton from Fox on that Daniel Penny trial. It's about to wrap up in New York City. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.